Welcome to the RetroCast, right. The official podcast of Sonic Retro.
Okay, so we have with us Mark.
Hey.
David the Lurker.
Oh, hey, that's me.
Instant Sonic, which is myself. We also have Neo Hazard.
Hello there.
And Overlord.
Yeah.
Oh, I also forgot Volg.
It's me.
All right, Sonic Mania. That is something that is actually happening.
About bloody time.
Uh-oh.
And it only I just heard about it.
You've been in the dark this long.
Yeah.
In some
cave somewhere. So, you know what? Inform me about Sonic Mania, because I have no idea about it.
It's a game. It's a game about a blue hedgehog. And he's got to go fast.
So Sonic Mania, it's the new game that's coming out from some members of the community, actually. Christian Whitehead, he also goes by Taxman. There's also Simon Tomley. I want to make sure I'm getting his nice name right. He goes by Stealth. And there's several members that form Pagoda West that they worked on Sonic 2 HD back in the day. And there's a few other members in there, too. Basically, they've all kind of come together with under Sega's flag, so to speak, and they are making a brand spanking new Sonic game that's essentially what everyone that's on Sonic Retro wants. It looks like the long-lost Sega Saturn game. It's absolutely beautiful through and through. It's got some new stages and some completely revamped old stages. Today, as of May 30th, 2017, a brand new trailer dropped, and it's got not only the release date of August 15th, 2015, but it has a beautiful, beautiful, I'm going to assume it's the opening of the game, from Tyson Hess, who works on the Archie Sonic comic. He did, he is responsible for the pencils for Sonic Mega Drive. Yeah, if you haven't checked that out, that's amazing. Did I get the date wrong on that? Did I say 2015? Because I meant to say 2017. Point being, Sonic Mania looks absolutely amazing. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, or at least I think we all want to talk about, is the trailer itself and that beautiful, beautiful... there's probably a better way to say animation or cartoon. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but... it essentially looks like something that, I don't want to say bad things about Sonic Boom, but if that was the cartoon that was on right now, I would totally watch it. I'm going to say that much at least.
It would also have quite a sizably larger budget.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I'm sure that's one thing to mix in there.
I would assume it'd still be on Cartoon Network as opposed to Boomerang.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
I think the one thing they were going for was was something similar to the Sonic CD pencil test, I guess, as kind of like an introduction to how everything's meant to look.
Yeah. There's a lot of little hidden things in there. I liked how, like, in the beginning, you know, you have, like, the Sonic the Hedgehog, right? And what it's actually doing is it starts with the rabbit ears, which was kind of Sonic was supposed to look like originally. Yeah, there's... That's the cool thing about Sonic Mania, right? There's so many little things in there that fans, longtime fans like us, are going to recognize that other people, you know, might not. What else did you guys kind of see in there that kind of stepped out to you? David, I know you were saying something about you thought you saw splats in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. In the middle of the trailer, there's a bit where Tails is in what we presume to be Flying Battery. I mean, it's Flying Battery, and he's in there's a room, he's blocked off. There's a bunch of broken
like
badniks.
Trash compactor almost.
Right, and so there's like a whole bunch of broken badniks. There's broken signposts, all sorts of things. And in there, I'm pretty sure there is what looks to be Splats the Rabbit's head. Now, Splats the Rabbit being a badnik that was developed for Sonic 1. And was cut from the final game. It has been used before in a Christian Whitehead product. It was in the debug mode for the Sonic 1 mobile port. But I mean, it's still neat to see that character. Like, you know, because it sort of has like a place of infamy in the world of Sonic. Like he had a trading card and yet wasn't in the game. So I like that. I thought that was neat.
And wasn't there like a Splatz toy somewhere, something like that? I thought I saw that a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, there used to be, very long time ago, there was a set of little plastic models. The Robotnik that they used was the Adventure of Sonic the Hedgehog Robotnik, and there was a couple of different poses, but they did a whole range of Badniks from Sonic 1, and one of the little models is of Splatz. I actually have one of the models, and I actually do have Splatz, and it's the best thing. It's the best thing to have a little model of Splatz.
Yeah, there's...
True physical beta content.
Yep.
There's so much to just, like, kind of watch out for. One thing, you know, blink you miss it, there's a whole new stage that they showed. I mean, unless I'm wrong.
They showed off Stardust Speedway for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was Green Hill Zone. I so green.
Well, that's in there, too. There was more of Act 2 that we saw of Green Hill Zone. I mean, we can get back to Stardust Speedway in a minute, but... there's a lot of people that are kind of complaining, you know, like, I just want new zones. And that's understandable, but I think you got to kind of work up to that in a sense. But wow, like, Green Hill Zone Act 2 looks almost completely different from that first act that I know David and I and a few others, we were at that Sonic party. And, you know, what we played... the demo there, it looked largely like Green Hill Zone from the first Sonic game, but that Act 2, what was some of the stuff that you guys are seeing, you know, in the trailer, and I know there's been some other demos and stuff out, that's kind of catching your eye about that Act 2 and what we can kind of expect for the team to really elaborate on some of these remade levels?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I noticed, not from this trailer, but from the Act 2 and what we've been seeing from Act 2, they've thrown some of the elements, some of the ideas from the Game Gear and Master System games in there. One of the swing platforms is one of the ones that kind of curves around in a half circle at one point. And also there is the water in the level, but not actually as a water level for the entire level, just like segmented water, I guess you could say. And that was one of the things that kind of made the Game Gear games unique, in that there was water in that way. It was like a small segment of water within the level landscape, not I'm just going to put a line of water and cover the entire level.
Right.
So like half the level is underwater, half the level's not above. It's not like that at all. It's just a tiny segment of it instead.
I think the level interactions too, like burning the bridges and stuff like that, it'll be something. I think people complain about seeing old stages, but, you know, with interactions and how you can kind of play with the level itself using the elements and everything. I think once people play it, it'll kind of change a little bit for them.
I think it's one of those things where for Act 1 they try to keep it simple, try to keep it more familiar, whereas for Act 2 they've just gone all out.
Yeah, it's like an introduction. Like, here's Mania. Here's what
yeah,
it
like,
is.
You know, there's so much in that Act 1 that's already different from what we saw, or what we know, I should say, from 25 years with the first Sonic game. And so now it's sort of like it kind of eases you in. I know there's people complaining, you know, I want new zones, but then you see that Act 2 and it's like, I think a lot of it is we hit you with the familiar, and then Act 2 is like, that's when we're really going to go all out. And, already, I'm really interested in what they're going to do with Stardust Speedway. Because, you know, you guys know, and I'm sure anyone listening knows, that that's from Sonic CD. And Sonic CD's big gimmick is time travel. And essentially, every level has, three or four different variations? Because there's the past, present, and future, but then there's good future and bad future for all of them. So,
yep.
I'm really interested to see what they're going to do, if it's just going to be the past, if they're going to somehow work in present and future, or what they're going to do. But,
I think it depends on what they're going to go for in terms of, are they going to make the time travel the gimmick of the level, I guess you could say, or are they going to try and combine all three time zones into one? That
right.
might be an interesting way to handle it.
Maybe,
I mean...
This is just random thoughts. Like, it might be maybe that the time zone just randomly jumps around and changes by itself as you're walking through. I'm thinking sort of along the lines of area-specific triggers, like how the color palettes changed in Mushroom Hill 2.
Maybe. Maybe.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a wasted opportunity if the stage was just, oh, we're only in the past, and that's it. Because Sonic CD's whole thing is about time travel. So I would expect to see a different time zone in some degree.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how they'll go about it, but, I mean, that Mushroom Hill idea would be neat. Or it could just be, you know, it could be like, oh, there's a past or a future time post, and you hit it. Maybe it doesn't do the crazy animation. Maybe it's something quicker, more subtle, because the technology's there. I mean, wasn't it back in the day, Oshima commented in an interview that he kind of wanted the time travel to be more instantaneous, but it just wasn't possible at the time and who was working on it?
Yeah, so it's essentially it was a disguised loading machine.
So, I mean, yeah, it might be neat if that idea of a more instantaneous time travel actually does exist in this game. I mean,
maybe.
I think it will. I think at minimum it'll be, at minimum it'll change on the act. Like maybe we'll get like a past in the future.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I know that some of us know a lot of the folks that are working on it, and it's like, what we've seen so far, there's just no way that they're only going to do the past. You know, there's so many little subtle references and things in there that, like, I just don't see them being like, ah, we'll just do the past, and that's good enough for us, you know? Like, there's got to be something there. And I'm personally really excited to see it. I'm also, though, Stardust Speedway is personally one of my favorite tracks from Sonic CD, so I'm really excited to see what, and I forgot to mention him earlier. The music, T. Lopes, and I hope I'm not messing his name. Is it T. Lopes or T. Lopez? I'm awful. I'm awful with names.
I think it's just T. Lopes.
Is it just T. Lopes? I thought so. Yeah. I've loved what he's done so far. I love both versions of Stardust Speedway, but that's one thing to consider, actually, now that you mention it, Overlord. I don't know. I think most of the folks working on it... Well, no, that's not right.
Maybe they'd do a mixture of the two. I mean, are music rights for the zones an issue now?
I think
the zones it is.
I think when it comes to actually remixing the music, it's not so much of an issue anymore because it becomes its own unique thing in that sort of
right.
way.
Well, I think doesn't... Yeah, because all that music on both sides of the ocean, they were done in-house, right? It's not like someone was...
Yeah, the only song
that had issues, if I remember right, was the lyrics for Toot Toot Sonic Warrior.
Yeah.
And everything else is kosher.
Yeah, technically, there was a big thing to do with the samples that were used to make the tracks, because it was back in the day where loads of those samples were used in a way that wasn't exactly legal. There were large sample packs with a load of those samples in that were given around by big companies that were used without royalties, etc. But I think at this point, something along those lines isn't so much of an issue.
I think
they released it.
Yeah, well,
the biggest problem I think with Toot Toot Sonic Warrior was that they couldn't really renegotiate any of the stuff because the singer's dead.
Yeah.
Well, not the singer, the lyricist.
Oh, the lyricist, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So, I believe the singer, she's still alive and well doing who knows what. But
that's good. That's good then. Yeah. One of the things I did notice about it, I mean, we've already noticed in things like in the other zones, such as Green Hill, where there are elements of other zones in there, such as you've got Emerald Hill, Twirling Path. But in the Stardust Speedway trailer, you see them twirl down a pole down the center at one point, and that's very reminiscent of Marble Garden.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's interesting to see that they've actually thrown elements of Marble Garden in there.
Right, because you wouldn't think right off the bat, oh man, Marble Garden, let's shove it in Stardust Speedway. Taking elements from Emerald Hill and putting them in Green Hill Zone seems very obvious, because essentially, they're the same thing. But Stardust Speedway, that's like crazy city highway, look at all this cool stuff going on. And Marble Garden is, hey, here's some ruins. So it's interesting that they're taking elements from one level trope, dropping it in another, and yet it's still... in that trailer seems seamless. It doesn't like stick out and go, why is that there? It all works.
I mean, we only notice because we're the sort of people that would notice something like that, but it just works really well.
I mean, we've been obsessing over Sonic for ever.
Too long. Far too long.
That's a weird way to say you.
Oh, thanks.
The flow, like you were saying, though, is definitely there. And, you know, the way that we're kind of dissecting it right now, it reminds me, when I was younger, I remember I had the big Sonic, like, Where's Waldo picture book, and that's almost reminding me of this. It's like, what do you see in here? Do you see Sonic sneakers or whatever? It's like, here's the marble garden part of
if you look in one corner, there's a single pixel out of place.
Oh God, no! That's the cynical. That's the cynical side. We're too optimistic for that here.
That's getting into forum topic territory.
I'm afraid Sonic the Hedgehog is just too blue. We need to decrease the shade by 1/16%.
Oh God.
Oh.
But you've never done sprite art before. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it actually is.
Really?
Good times. Wait, these are sprites? I thought Christian White had closed his eyes, smacked his hands to a keyboard, and all the sprites magically appeared.
Yep, that's exactly
okay,
what
happened. Okay, his name might be Christian, but I don't think any kind of magical works are happening here in that regard.
Yeah, the only thing he could do in that office is turn water into wine, which I'm sure they've been drinking a lot of during the production.
he's Australian, it wouldn't be wine, it'd be beer.
All right.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Somebody from the King of Japan wanders in. They're like, "Where's the Fosters?" And he's like, "I'm not that."
I think one of the other things that sort of stuck out for the trailer was the elevator buttons. In that, the elevator buttons you've got on there, you've got 1, 2, 3, K, and M. And obviously the M button is pressed. It's to represent Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, Sonic & Knuckles, and then Sonic Mania. Now, some people are obviously pointing out that Sonic CD is missing from there, even though they've just shown off a Sonic CD level in the trailer. But the one thing that I think is obviously missing, and I think is great that it's missing more than anything else, is Sonic 4.
Well, Mark... It's because Sonic 4 would technically take place after. Obviously, Sonic 4 takes place between a Sonic Pocket Adventure and Sonic Adventure, since it features the modern version of the characters. And Pocket Adventure shows Eggman change his clothes from the classic look to the more familiar look we see in Adventures 1 and 2 and on. So, of course, Sonic 4 can't be there, because canonically it would take place in the future. This is what we're...
See, you're trying to make fun of people, but you just did that off the cuff, so it doesn't really work.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But no, is there anyone that's going to be upset that Sonic 4 isn't on the elevator?
Nope,
I don't think anyone is going to mind.
I think the only one people might be a little bit upset for is Sonic CD, but...
Yeah, but then it kills the elevator joke. If you're going to put CD on the elevator, that's just... Because it would be like 1, 2, CD, 3, K. Like,
push the help button. They could have put it off to the side. Could have been the call button.
He's got a point.
Yeah, it's true, because everyone theorizes as to when that takes place in the canon, which, God, we could do a whole 8-hour podcast about the Sonic canon, so we better not get into that. But
wait, canon?
That's episode 2.
Yeah.
You mean headcanon?
Video game jokes, we got them. But I... That... Well, this is
sorry, did I ruin your train of thought? Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was a derail.
Well, yeah. Well, I think
cut that part out.
No, it's okay. No, I think the idea CD was probably left out on purpose to avoid making a statement as to where it takes place. Because if it was put between 2 and 3, it'd be like, oh, well, they're just doing it of release date. If it's placed between 1 and 2, or placed between K and Mania, then it's like, we're making a definitive statement as to where this takes place. And for most people, who cares? But for certain people, it then becomes like, oh, Sega's making a stamp, and then people are arguing whether or not Mania then is canonical because it's you know, it's disrupting their personal view on canon. And yeah, it just becomes because, you know, at the end of the day, it isn't really important. Although CD does say place between 1 and 2, but I mean, it's not really that important.
Well, technically, isn't Sonic CD just basically nice. Sonic 1 Plus anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I think that pretty much covers Sonic Mania for now, though, because we kind of hit on most of what's new. Super excited. I mean, already was excited, but it's like every time they release footage, it's just more and more. Can't wait. But really stoked for that August release date. It's a lot of big games outside of Sonic that's coming out this summer, and, but that's exciting.
And just a reminder, it is up for pre-order on Steam in case you want it on PC.
Yes.
$19.99.
That's actually on sale right now for $17.99. You can get it for 10% off.
It's actually also on pre-order for PlayStation 4 as well, which I think's kind of cool. I'm a little jealous. If you pre-order it on PlayStation 4, you get 3 different themes for your PlayStation. They all really? Look really, really cool.
Yeah,
might have to get that as well. Might have to buy it more than once.
Sweet.
Well, I mean, I would hope that everyone here buys it on every available platform.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Buy it for your friends. Buy it for your mom. Buy it for everybody.
Buy it for your dog.
Yeah.
It's true.
Make sure to get it outsourced Sonic Mania. Not Mania Forces.
Which, yes, speaking of that.
Yeah,
speaking of Sonic Forces, let's talk about Sonic Forces.
Yeah, since we're kind of in this new podcast of ours, we haven't obviously had any time to talk about Sonic Forces. And
and we don't need to.
Hey, let's move on. Yes. Okay, no.
No, we better hit a little bit. So the actual new Sonic game that's coming from Sonic Team themselves is Sonic Forces, and it's got Modern Sonic, Classic Sonic, and the Creative Furry hero character, or whatever they're called.
Oh my god.
I've coined the term Creative Furry because it's like Creator Wrestler, haha. But basically, it looks like there's a bunch of destruction for some reason, and Classic Sonic is there for some reason. And there's a Creative Furry for some reason. I don't think
Sonic really for some reason.
Yeah, I want to say, didn't they say at some point that like this game starts where Eggman's already won or something?
Yeah, they've already. I think Shin on the Twitter, like
Shin Nakamura.
Yeah, he keeps tweeting stuff out about like forces and everything, and I believe he said something about like, oh, he's taken over, what happened? And people are like theorizing like what's going on.
Right. And there's the 3 different gameplay styles. There's the Classic Sonic one, which we won't get into physics right now. We just won't hit that. there's the boost gameplay that we've had for quite some time with Modern Sonic, and then even though, you know, on this podcast, you know, at least I personally have already been giving the Creative Furry hell, that one actually looks pretty fun. You have like a grappling hook gun thing. It looks like
Sonic Boom gameplay pushed into the Sonic Generations engine. Yeah. And quite frankly, I'm actually not upset by that either.
That is a good
I'm actually intrigued by it more than anything else.
Well, I'm more bothered by the presentation than anything, but that's just me.
Yeah, with the hipster glasses?
Well, no, just the thing in general, but it's a case of probably what I will end up doing is make something as close to Boom Sonic as possible and then just get through it as quick as and probably never come back to it.
I just want to make Chloe so she's close to Tails during this whole ordeal.
It sounds like another podcast bled in while we were just talking.
Well, funny enough, one thing I have noticed about in a lot of places is a lot of people who used to have like a fan character back when they were 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are coming back out of the woodwork from a long time ago. A lot of very old friends from a very long time ago are coming out of the woodwork again because, hey, look, it's Sonic Forces. Create your own character. And everyone's really excited to create their own character again from like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. You know, back in the day, in the early days of the Sonic Internet community, it was it was weird if you didn't have like a terrible recolored Sonic, Tails, or Knuckles sprite.
Yeah, so you had Toontown at the time.
What?
That was too creative.
Those things where, like, now if you do it, everyone rolls their eyes and whatever, and they just assume, oh, you're six or whatever. But now, back then, it was weird if you didn't have one. It was just expected of everyone to have something.
It was the thing to do. Everyone had one. If you didn't have one, you got someone to design one for you. It was just one of those things.
Yeah, I think it also, you know, it goes back to the primordial soup of the Sonic Internet as a whole. You know, the original website, which was on rat.org, it had a fan fiction section, which was run by Bookshire Draftwood. And, like, the fanfics that had the most... fanfics were suddenly, like, a big part of the Sonic community, even though nowadays, like, fanfiction is sort of shoved in a corner. But
how long did it take before we got to David Gunn?
No, it's fine.
No, I definitely have to say that fanfiction since then has become way big in the public eye. Like,
right.
It's way more normal now than it ever was.
Yeah, it wasn't only things like fan fiction, though. It was also things like roleplay. A lot of roleplay used to happen. Chat rooms and things like that used to happen more than anything else.
Can I take that back?
Don't forget the muck.
I mean that, fan fiction has... It's always been around. It's how you get a lot of your really awesome things like Sonic, because, let's be honest, Sonic is just fan fiction of Mickey and Felix, as far as design is concerned. I forgot where I was going with that. Fuck.
I think it's more accessibility and just people know that it exists. You know, there was a point in time that, you know, you hear the word fan fiction. What does that even mean? But now, you know, there's entire episodes of shows that's what they do is just, instead of it being parody, it's literally just let's take our characters and put them in this thing.
It's not only that, it's become somewhat validated. At one point it was fan fiction, what is that? Then it went to the point of fan fiction, oh my god, that's actually a bit creepy, what are you doing? And then it turned into a case of, well, that's fan fiction, it's just you expressing your ideas of what if.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at it from... let's say modern comic book writers who are working with, like, you know, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, the people who are working on those characters were fans, as you know, when they were kids. There's no one who's working on those characters that existed for 70 years that were the ones that created them. So essentially, you have an entire industry that's being run by fans, and that's fan fiction. I mean, even the big budget theatrical films, like, those are done by people who are fans. Even something like 50 Shades of Grey, that started as a fan fiction of Twilight, and then became the fastest selling paperback book of all time.
Yeah, you might hate it, but it's definitely, you know, like, it's proof in the pudding. For sure.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to make it good.
He would hate me for bringing it up, but in similar context for the comic book, you have Ian Flynn, because his starting days were with fan fiction as well, and then he started writing for Archie, and there you go.
That's an even better example.
Well, I mean, we're kind of glossing over the biggest example. I know we got done with Sonic Mania, but that's all fans. That's all people that worked on fan games prior to getting hired by Sega. You know, I mean, we had... Heck, Taxman worked on Retro Sonic and Sonic Nexus and games like that, and then... Stealth worked on his EO2 engine and had different games as well and hacks and things. I mean, that's kind of where we're at now, where there's so many people that have grown up with things and we're so connected as a society that your ideas can become the real thing.
Right.
I mean, so you're basically saying that Sonic was lucky that he grew up in that age.
Kind of.
In a way, yeah.
Anything that means that we don't have to talk about Sonic Forces, you know, we can keep talking about the philosophy of fans and how great it is.
Yes, we should probably go back to that.
Yeah.
I know. We can even rewind back to, like, Star Trek had a huge fanfic, you know, culture back in the 70s. Or, heck, you could probably make an argument that Shakespeare himself was a fanfic writer because so many of his plays were based on other pieces of fiction.
We're getting a little bit philosophical now, I think.
Well, okay, okay. So what you're saying is we should talk about...
We're going into university thesis work here now.
Let's talk about the Dusty Green Hill Zone in Sonic Forces.
Oh, that thing. So that is Dust Hill from Sonic 2, right?
Yes. Well, look at the recently released Sonic 2 dev notes, where Dust Hill could quite easily just have been something along those lines.
Oh. But unfortunately, this game isn't being made by Yasuhara. It's being made by the modern Sonic team.
Yes, this is true.
Right. But yeah, so, I mean, Dusty Green Hill Zone. I mean, it's called Green Hill Zone in the trailer title. I mean, there's definitely sand and pyramids and what have you. It definitely seems a little... Like, if it was just on its own, I don't think I would have as many problems as the fact that I can't help but compare it to Mania. Because you have Classic Sonic running through a level, he's also running through Mania. He, in that trailer, I believe he does the drop dash, you know, in Forces, which is a thing that's being introduced in Mania. And because of that, there's even more explicit ties, and the comparisons just can't help but be made. And you see a level design which isn't as interesting as, say, the Generations version of Green Hill, and is still kind of wonky when you also have this game which is like pixel perfect, physics perfect Sonic, or Classic Sonic, that is. So you see something which maybe on its own would be fun, would be passable, but it's like you almost can't escape the fact that you're comparing it to another product that's being released just a couple months beforehand.
Right. I think the biggest problem with it is it's most likely Classic Sonic's opening stage to try and get Classic Sonic into the Sonic Forces narrative. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they've obviously put it in there because, hey, look, it's Classic Sonic, it's Green Hill, it's Classic, everything is Classic. But it doesn't actually tie in with Sonic Forces other than it's to get Classic into Sonic Forces in the first place. So if they would have showed off maybe the second level with Classic, it might have been a lot more interesting. It might have been something a lot more immersive in terms of how Sonic Forces is being shown so far. But showing off what they've done so far doesn't actually spoil anything. It just makes it look like, hey, look, we've got Classic Sonic in Green Hill again.
Yeah. Because we've only seen two levels. We've seen Park Avenue, which modern and create an OC character, Hedgehog Blog Man, is running through.
I'm sorry, there is a monocle, and there's most likely a top hat. I'm happy, I don't care.
Right. There was some interesting items and stuff like that you can like kind of see with the created character, so... It'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I mean, the created character is kind of prime DLC material.
That's true. I mean,
what is neat, at least, is that aside from like a hedgehog, most of the species of the OC are not ones that you constantly see all the time. It's not like, hey, you can make a fox, you can make an echidna. Those aren't available. It's like there's cats, which, I mean, we've got Blaze and Big, but they're, you know, two very different characters and what
they're stylized.
They look like Boom versions.
Right. Because what are the probably should have looked this up. There's like dog and cat. Mm-hmm. There's a bear.
And there's a wolf.
A bird.
A bird, yeah.
Was there a rabbit or no?
Rabbit.
There's a
rabbit.
I think that was rabbit and there was wolf.
Right. Yeah. So rabbit, wolf, dog, cat, hedgehog, bird. And I think it just said the other one. I can't remember.
Basically, if it lives in Unknown Village.
Right.
I guess it's one of those things where they could release additional species as DLC, or they could just leave it the way it is. I guess it's one of those things where they decided on that, I don't know, maybe for certain character copyright reasons, maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always wondering, like, if they'll hold off and then do bases for the other stuff, like, maybe they'll do a fox one and an echidna one or something like that.
Well, echidna ones, it's like, isn't that just asking for,
that was my point. That was my point, yes. It's asking for a lawsuit.
Is this a segue into a certain corner where we just talk about someone forever? Like, I'm
anything but talking about Sonic Forces.
Yeah, I mean, Sonic Forces is sort of like just that game that's up in the air. Mania like, you know what to expect. You know what's... I mean, I can't see how it can't be good. Forces is sort of a wild card because we've seen so little. We've seen, like, one original level, one that's taken from, you know, vintage Sonic. We have a sense of who the three characters, how they're supposed to play, but we haven't really gotten into the nitty-gritty. And I think until, like, Forces is available as, you know, as playable even, like, on the floor of E3 or what have you, like, it's still sort of a question mark as to, is this going to be as good as Generations? Is it going to be better than Generations? Can it, like, maybe even try to best Adventures 1 and 2, which is still held up for some as, like, the best Sonic has ever been in 3D?
Right. And a lot of it, you know, what we're saying is it's pure speculation right now. Because to your point, you know, none of us have played it. Everything that we're seeing is just what we know from, like, Generations, everything like that.
We don't know anything about narrative whatsoever.
Exactly.
Right. Aside from Eggman seems to have taken over the world.
Yeah.
Which are just vague teases from Shun Nakamura, the producer, who also was, what, the director of 06? Not the most comforting
pedigree. Promising right there. Right.
Not the most comforting pedigrees, but, you know.
All the nervous laughs.
But, gosh, it's only going to be 2 weeks. I and Bartman, who's not with us today, but we'll both be at E3, so... If you're listening now prior to that, you can expect some front page stuff from us in regards to Forces, like how it plays and our thoughts on it, the whole nine yards. So that'll be coming up here in about 2 weeks. But to kind of get away from Forces and a few other things.
Wait, 1 second. Sorry, we have a front page?
Believe it or not.
Mythical beast.
The case and you too. You too can hear or see the front page at www.sonicretro.org.
Oh my god, I am astounded.
You can add a slash if you want, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Or and, you don't even have to put the www there.
Right. You could just go to Google and type Sonic Retro.
Oh, you could
lazy.
Do that too. Yeah.
You could
but then you have to type it into Google. You just type Sonic Retro. Don't even worry about the .org. Just type it in.
Right, you just
could,
like...
You can also just go on the forums and click where it says home.
Oh, you could do that.
Uh-oh.
There are speaking of the forums, the community.
Oh. Hey!
So, David, do you know about the Twitter stuff? Because I don't know the exact specifics. I've just seen the pictures and said, that's neat. So,
because
I was going to say, I can give you a 3-2-1 countdown, and then you can go in community news and then start rattling off about
right.
it.
Hold on. I need to remember.
Look it up real quick.
I need to remember what that thing is called. Okay. Because it was basically...
It's concept art. It's like original Sonic 2 concept art.
Right. No, I found the thing where it was like the Digital Dragons. It was a thing in Poland. Okay. I can do a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So 3, 2, 1.
Yes, community news. Now, you know, there's always a lot of happenings on the Twitter. But over the last week, what was really interesting is that over in Poland, there was not a convention, but like, what's the word?
A presentation at all?
Right. Well, because there's like a thing where people give panels. It's called Digital Dragons. It's an event that happens once a year. It goes from place to place. It was the first year it was in Poland. But one of the featured speakers was Hirokazu Yasuhara. Now, Sonic fans should know him as, you know, one of the key players in the original, like, Sonic the Hedgehog trilogy and Knuckles, where, you know, he did level designs, he helped direct things. He was one of the driving forces to make sure that this game was fun, which happened to be the subject of his talk, where it was was called How to Make a Game, quote unquote, Fun. Now, I guess the video of the entire talk hasn't been put up yet. Now, hopefully it will be on YouTube within the next few weeks, because the talks that happened that have happened to previous Digital Dragons have been put up on YouTube. You can see almost all of them from last year. So I'm hoping it'll be up soon. But he did a talk about, you know, like, I guess his design philosophy, relating to work he's done, like, you know, with Naughty Dog, with Jack and Daxter and Uncharted, but there was also a lot of focus regarding Sonic the Hedgehog, specifically Sonic the Hedgehog 2, where he showed off some concept art and design documents detailing early concepts of what the game would be and how it would feature the time travel mechanic. Now, Sonic, you know, it's always sort of been one of the things that's been floating out there, like, oh, Sonic 2 was supposed to have time travel, but it's never been expanded upon or really talked about by anyone involved with the game. But this is the first time where he showed, like, a diagram about, like, oh, here's the different time zones that we were thinking about, and maps where you have, like, oh, here's a location on the island where Green Hill Zone is, but in a different time zone, like, that would be Dust Hill, or it would be Hilltop. I'm assuming that in the talk itself, it was more in detail, but right now it's just snippets of what's been said on Twitter as to how that was supposed to work. But it is, like, very fascinating to see, like, that these two separate teams had the same idea of Sonic utilizing time travel, but the rushed development of Sonic 2, they kind of had to drop it and instead did the more linear, starting with Emerald Hill and moving on, like the game we finally got, as opposed to CD, which was given the time to really figure out how time travel would actually work, because it didn't have the same pressure. But I mean, it's an interesting look at the development of Sonic 2, because we've had so much information as to how that worked, because it was a half Japanese, half American team. But, like, it's the side of things that we just haven't gotten information for until recently.
Well,
I think it's absolutely fascinating more than anything else, in that, as you said, we know so much about Sonic 2, but clearly there is so much we don't.
Yeah.
And this is from a phase where we did not know anything yet. I mean, people tried to link together, well, you've got Emerald Hill, which was Green Hill back then, linking up with Hilltop because the tiles look the same. People would try to link up Woodzo with Metropolis and all of this. And to get somewhat proof of some of this already is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant to see all this.
It's well known anyway. From years back, that Sonic 2's development was rushed. I mean, it's a tradition that's carried on in the series to this day, more or less. but it's seeing now, just like the grandiose plans that they had for 2, that obviously they didn't have the time to implement and went in a different direction for it, arguably may have been better or worse off for it as a result. But it really is intriguing just to see what direction the game could have gone had they had the time and the ROM space to do it.
I mean, one thing that fascinates me as a programmer, as a ROM hacker, as someone who actually likes to delve into the actual details of things, is that the one thing that's always been a mystery to people is why the level order is the way it is in Sonic 2. Why you've got Green Hill, then there was meant to be the slot for a gap, then Wood Zone, then Metropolis, then etc. But if you actually put it together with these concept notes and you look at what the level progression was meant to be, it almost matches up exactly to these notes.
Suddenly it makes sense.
It's amazing. It suddenly makes perfect sense, and it's wonderful to actually get that sense finally.
That's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we already knew that, you know, Sonic 2 was meant to be super ambitious, but now with this time travel thing being confirmed, and it's really, really neat to see these, like, essentially, it's, what, like, four different islands? I mean, I think it's, like, there's technically only one or two, and it's just, like, the different time periods that they were set in, but
It's one island. Basically, you start off in the present, you go into the past, I think it's first, then you go into
past
the...
Yeah,
then you go, because things have changed, you go back into the present, but it's changed. And then you go, I think, into the future at that point, wasn't it?
Yes,
or do you go back into the past?
There's one past, one future, two present.
And that's it. Yeah, so you start off in the present, you go into the past, you then go back to the present, and then you go to the future. And I mean, Death Egg isn't even the last level, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
Also, you visit Atlantis.
Yeah.
The Lost City. And it's neat to see things like, oh, there, yeah, like, you see Woodhill, you see Dust Hill, but then it's, like, Rock Whatever Zone. Because I think, like, Rock Zone was something that was in a random document that was scanned. Yeah. Like, oh, Roxa, what yep. that could be.
It could be the Bampa.
Sand shower, no?
Right, like, who knows what sand shower was supposed to be. And, but then I think, because, like, way back in the day when Brenda Ross had been interviewed, she mentioned there was supposed to be, like, a winter zone that would relate to Dust Hill. Like, that's strangely missing. But then it's like, oh, was that just an idea that she had? Was it something that came after the time travel stuff was dropped? I mean, we don't have, like, a definitive timeline. And this is, while this answers some questions, it also opens up new ones. And it's always exciting to get new info and realize that, hey, we don't really know everything that happened in the development of this game. Like, and then it also is fascinating to think that maybe if Sonic Team had been and the Sega Technical Institute had been given that extra 2 months where they had been told, don't make a sequel to Sonic, work on something else, and then they went, oh, no, we really want you to make a sequel to Sonic 2. Like, the extra 2 months that had been wasted on a project that hadn't never came out, we still don't really know what it was. Like, that is very fascinating to me to think of, you know, in some alternate timeline, that Sonic 2 would have been completely different with that extra 2 months of development time. But maybe at the end of the day, maybe it's better that Sonic 2 doesn't have time travel, if only because it would be forever compared to CD in a way and that would probably
CD's, be I totally agree with that.
CDs probably would have been looked on as by far the better of the two.
Right.
I don't know so much. I mean, it's a different play on time travel in that it's not a gimmick, I guess you could say, an element within every single level. It's actually part of the narrative plot instead.
Yeah, that's true.
And I almost kind of wonder, like, if Sonic 2 were to have time travel and Sonic CD, would that just be a staple of the games today? Like, every game is expected to have time travel, you know?
Maybe, well, I mean, yeah. Time travel is an important part of Sonic as it is. I mean, you think about, like, either, like, with CD, you know, Sonic 06, obviously, but
Generations,
assuming Forces, because classic Sonic's there, but even, like, not, like, a direct someone's going back in time, even, like, flashback sequences where somebody's interacting with the past, even if it's construction, like Sonic Adventure, all the characters go back to when the Echidna tribe existed, or, like, Shadow the Hedgehog, there are levels where you play as Shadow in the Space Colony arc. It's a construct that Black Jim creates for you to go through. Like, time travel, whether or not you were a fan of it, is like a woven part of the Sonic the Hedgehog fabric. I mean, the best episodes of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog involve time travel.
Right? It's just true.
And I mean, maybe it's just a case where somebody connected to Sonic really liked Back to the Future, and you go back in time because you go 88 miles an hour. I don't know.
Do you have a slow for Sonic time? Are you saying that the plot of Sonic Forces is that we've got the Supreme High Robotnik?
Oh. Or maybe what happens is that modern Sonic goes back in time and he sees classic Sonic and he's just like, hey, we gotta go back for your kids, Sonic.
Oh, God.
Sounds like a Mario
That's
game.
What your OC is. It's Sonic's kid. I figured it
out. Oh, God.
No, David, no.
Well, I think that probably should be where we wrap things up.
I don't know
where we can go from here.
Well, I'm expecting everyone to submit, clearly.
Right,
I'm expecting everyone to submit their Sonic Back to the Future crossover fanfics, and we'll read one on the show, right?
Yes.
Wow, yeah, yes. Put that on yourself, David.
You say that, he'd do it.
Yeah, don't tempt me. I'll.
Okay, so I guess submit your fanfics for the next podcast, and David will
Jesus
read
Christ.
The chosen one. Thanks, David.
You're welcome. I'm glad that I'm able to submit a segment for this podcast, which may never get a second episode.
And don't worry. If you guys don't end up writing one and never submitting anything, David will write his own.
Sonic the Hedgehog looked at the DeLorean, excited by how fast he did it.
No!
He doesn't even have to write, it just comes up with it instantly.
Amazing. You know what? Just keep going, David. Just keep going.
Maybe. He ran his gloved palm against the DeLorean's solid steel frame, wondering, yes, maybe we could both travel back in time to the past version of Collision Chaos.
Oh, baby.
Why Collision Chaos?
That sounds kind of hot.
We're treading on a line here.
Look, there's a lot you can do with bumpers, is what I'm saying.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
No.
I guess that's the end of the podcast, right?
Oh, God. Instant, take us home.
No, he's out of the car. He abandoned the family. We'd like to thank you for listening to the inaugural first episode of the second season of the RetroCast, the official podcast of SonicRetro.org. Would everyone like to say maybe where we can find each other on the internet if you feel like, looking at what we do from a day to day, unless you want to be a secret?
Yeah, totally. You can find us on SonicRetro.org. You can see what we do day to day at SonicRetro.org.
Oh, well,
come join some of us. Yeah, come join some of us on the Sonic Retro Discord. We're always about. Although some of us do tend to keep a bit more silent on there than others, we are there. We're all available, and we're a good crowd on there. So come join us. Come talk.
Right. There's a link to the Discord on the forums. Even if you're not a member on the forums, it's in one of the.
Public. It's in the announcement.
Exactly. I was trying to think of like what that form's called. Yeah, the announcements. And then you can also always follow us on Twitter. It's just @SonicRetro. It's pretty simple. And you can always check out our sister site, SegaRetro.org, where there's lots of information about games that don't involve blue hedgehogs, because Sega did at some point make games that didn't involve blue hedgehogs.
All right, well, this wraps up this Blue Hedgehog podcast. You guys take it easy, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Sonic Retro. It's the website I love.
Let's give it a kiss. Don't put that in there.
That's beautiful. No, that's what he's getting. That's going. Please give me